really enjoyed last Sunday when we just talked about the main thing. And we talked about Jesus is the main thing. Anybody enjoy that? So how many know Jesus is the main thing? He is Alpha and He is Omega. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know what that means? That means Jesus is forever relevant. Jesus is historical, He's present, He's futuristic. Are you hearing me? And Jesus is the main thing. But today, I want to talk to you about the principal thing. Are you ready for this? Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. So what's the principal thing? Wisdom. Therefore, get wisdom. And I deliberately quoted the King James. I'm usually a NIV guy when I quote scripture, but I just had to bring the King Jimmy into this message. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. With all thy getting. In other words, get your get on. You got, and it says wisdom is the principal thing. Look at Proverbs 4, and I love what you're used to me by now, shortly, that whenever I stop halfway into a reading Bible verses, that's me pausing to let you read out the next word. Is that good? So we're going to give it a shot. You ready? It says, get wisdom and get understanding. This is Proverbs 4. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. It says, do not forsake wisdom and will protect you and love and will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. That will cost you all you have, get understanding. Cherish and will exalt you. Embrace and will honor you. Will give you a garland to grace around your head and present you with a glorious crown. So I was looking at this, and I remember one time when I was preaching on wisdom, and some people collect some people collect stamps, or some people collect coins, you know, some people collect baseball cards. I like to collect thoughts. I really do. I'm a collector of thoughts, especially wisdom thoughts. I want to be that guy that collects great thoughts that will help me move my life forwards. And as a preacher, as a communicator, I think it's a good thing to do. So I collect, some people collect those other things. I like to collect wisdom thoughts. And over the years, I've done that. Sharon one day said to me, hey, Steve, have you ever noticed in the Bible how wisdom is always identified as a she? And I never did, but I looked at it and there it is. Listen to what it says. Say to wisdom, look at Proverbs 7 verse 4, you are my sister, and to insight, you are my relative. Look what the Bible says, Proverbs 1. Out in the open, wisdom calls and aloud, and she raises her voice in the public square. So I started looking at it, and blow me down, Sharon's right. Wisdom in scripture is often identified as a she. And all the girls said, and all the men just stay quiet right now. All right. And then I said, okay, honey, I'll give it to you. There it is. Wisdom. You know, say to wisdom, thou art my sister. If you're going to call wisdom your sister, that means you are so familiar with wisdom. It's like we're family. We do life together. You with me here? Say to understanding, you are my relative. You're my uncle. You're my cousin. You get it? But then Sharon says, but have you also noticed that the Bible often identifies foolishness as a he? I never looked at it before. I never considered it. But look what the Bible says. Watch this. It says here, Proverbs 12, verse 16, a fool shows his annoyance at once. The Bible says in Psalm 14, verse 1, a fool, or the fool, has said in his heart, there is no God. So in the Bible, according to Sharon, wisdom is a she and foolishness is a he. Now I'm losing all the men. We just had a men's conference, and now all the good things I've done to build your self-esteem, I'm now deflating it, right? Okay, but then Sharon went on to say, and she had this friend who was a psychologist, and the psychologist, Sharon loves to have those deep conversations with people. And so she says, did you know, I just learned that physiologically speaking, and there's a lot more to this, but this is just putting it in its simplest form, that the sex of every baby in the earliest gestation period upon conception of a child, the sex is always female. And actually, when the child is going to be a male, there's a certain period of time where there's this rush of testosterone that goes from one side of the brain to the other and kills millions of brain cells in that child. Then and only then is the child a boy. So now, there's a lot more to what I know, so don't come up to me afterwards and try and tell me all the rest of it and give me a biology lesson. I understand. But I will say this. Sharon goes, so you realize that all men are born brain damaged. So, girls, I just want to say this to you, that, you know, when you look at us guys and you ask us, what are we thinking? Because we look like we're in some really deep, contemplative, meditative, prophetic, and we got that look on our face. And you ask us, what are you thinking? And we say nothing, and you don't believe us. No, really, we can do that. When you say to us, how could you be so thoughtless to not think that that would be something that would be okay? We can say, can't help it. We were born brain damaged. Come on, men. I'm trying to help you out here. I'm trying to help the men out here. I'm convinced, and I can't show any Bible verse for it. And I do believe it. I do believe, you know, the Apostle Paul had visitations with God that, you know, only he saw. And I think maybe, just maybe, there's a female angel in heaven that actually blinds men. So when we walk to the refrigerator or we walk to the pantry and we look for the sugar, we look for the milk, whatever it is we're looking for, and then we ask our wives, where is it? And their wife will tell you, it's on the shelf right in front of you. And I think there's an angel, a female angel. I think God has a sense of humor. And I think God says, go blind the guy. And the angel comes, put its wings over our eyes. And we go, honey, it's not there. Then the wife comes right beside you. And miraculously, it's right there. And the angel like moves its wings. And now we look like a fool. Can I get an amen from any men here? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That's in the first chapter of Opinions, second book of Heresies. Okay, the Bible says a fool shows his annoyance at once. Did you catch it? And so the Bible says, Proverbs 4 verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is this, get it. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 16, verse 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. Now, I wonder, I mean it now. Listen, how many believe the Bible? How many believe the Bible? Okay, just there's a few of you with there not raising your hand. Okay, how many believe the Bible? Okay, listen, the Bible says wisdom is better than gold. So I wonder this morning, if I had a bar of gold and I had a whole package and a download of wisdom, I wonder which one you choose. I wonder whether we actually do value wisdom more than... Now, that doesn't mean we don't value the gold, but we understand wisdom, according to Scripture, is more valuable than gold. I wonder how much value... Now, if there's a gold bar on the stage, how many know we're coming for it? Amen. But the Bible says there's wisdom is better than gold. I wonder how much time we actually pursue wisdom. And the Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. I love what it says in Proverbs 29 verse 11. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. I love that. Fools just mouth off straight away and have no restraint. They give full vent to their rage. But I love what it says, but the wise bring calm in the end. Proverbs 19 verse 20, listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, the Bible says, you will be counted among the wise. I love it because wisdom always speaks to the end. Did you hear it? At the end, listen, a fool gives full vent to the rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. I love this verse because it says, if you listen to advice, you listen and you accept discipline, it says, at the end, you'll be counted among the wise. So here's some thoughts. You ready for this? I want to give you some wisdom thoughts. And I've preached wisdom for many years. Anyone's been around Wave Church, but I want to give you some thoughts. I want to remind you some thoughts and I want to teach you some new thoughts. Are you ready for it? I have 50. So we'll be here till 3 o'clock this afternoon, if that's okay. All right, some of you would be here. I won't be, but some of you would. Okay, I want to give you a few thoughts. Number one, listen to this thought. It's a wisdom thought. If it's too good to be true, you can finish it. If it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. Who's ever had someone make these grand promises to you? Like, I promise you, I guarantee 100% ironclad. I just guarantee if you do this, this will happen. I guarantee if you invest in this, often it's wrapped around money. It's often wrapped around appealing to a person's, you know, appetite. Maybe it talks about, you know, getting somewhere quicker than everybody else. You've got this inside knowledge. You've got this secret, you know, and I've had it over the years. I've even had pastors come to me and say, Steve, I want to encourage you. I guarantee you, if you give me $50,000 of your money, and I'm going, how much? If you give me 50, how much? 50, I guarantee you there'll be a, you know, 100% return and I'm in 3 months. And I'm like, you know, if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. I know what it's like in church life and Wave Church and the church I was a part of in Australia. Sometimes business people, entrepreneurial people, you know, sometimes you got to be careful. You got to be aware of people that don't trade in the shade. Do you know what I mean? And they kind of say what they want, say to you what they think will appeal to you, but then they say something quite different to someone else. And it's like they're offering the same thing, but different promises based on who they're talking to. It's called, you know, shades of gray. You with me here? And so I remember this one guy said, man, if you just get everybody in Wave Church to invest into my company, into my product, and if everybody does this, then I guarantee you, you will never need in Wave Church another dollar ever again. I guarantee you. And he goes, and I'm thinking, hey, and so what you're saying is you want to bless Wave Church. Yeah. Well, why don't you just write the check? Why do you want everybody to bless you in every turn? And then he goes, but I guarantee you, you'll never need another dollar again. And I'm going, I just spoke to Jehovah Jireh this morning. He looks and sounds nothing like you. I look to him, not to you. Come on, somebody. So I just want to just remind us here this morning, come on, that if something's too good to be true, chances are it's too good to be true. Listen to this one. Here's a thought. It's a wisdom thought. And some people, I've heard this challenge. There's this statement that I'm about to make, and some people say, it's not in the Bible. But I want to tell you it is. And here's the thought. Good things come to those who wait. And I've heard people say, that's not in the Bible. Well, those exact words are not in the Bible, but the spirit of that thought is in the Bible. If you were to look for the exact words, I think James does bring it out. But listen to Proverbs 20, verse 11. The Bible says, an inheritance claimed too soon will not be blessed in the end. Remember now, wisdom always speaks to the end. It's not just the photograph of where you are today. It's the movie and where the end finishes up. And I love it because it says an inheritance gain. Now, we know that as parents, that if we don't teach our kids to accept responsibility as they grow and we just give them everything, we understand that actually that'll bring a child to ruins. We understand, we see it with people who win the lottery. For all the money people spend to win the lottery, they're setting themselves up for failure. Because how many times does it end up that actually does more harm when they win it? Because an inheritance gain too soon will bring you to ruins in the end. You're not ready for it yet. James 5 puts it this way. I love Jesus' half-brother. And this is what he says. He goes, be patient. Wait on God. The farmer waits patiently for the land to produce its valuable crops. The farmer understands if he's patient and he waits on the land, he puts the seed in the ground, but he's got to be patient. And it says good things will come if you have patience and you wait on the land to produce its valuable crops. Good things come to those who wait, but we want it now. We're gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy. We're take, 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 my name's Jake. We want instant gratification, but I want to tell you, good things do come to those who wait. Listen to Exodus 23. I love this verse. And this is God speaking to the children of Israel. And he goes, I will not drive them all out in a single year. Speak about the enemies that are in the promised land that God wants the children of Israel to have. And there's giants and there's enemies because the land will become too desolate and wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession to the land. You know what the Bible's telling me? Good things come to those who are patient. And God says, I'm not going to give it to you all at once. I have it all for you. It's a land that flows with milk and honey, not honeys. A land that flows with milk and honey, I'll give it to you, but I'm going to give it to you. I won't drive them all out at once because if I gave it to you all at once, it'd be too much. You couldn't handle it. Wild beasts would come in and run you down. But I'm going to give you this. I've got all that out there for you. But right now, and when you've become strong enough to look after what I've given you, little by little, I'll give it to you until you increase and you're able to handle the more I have for you. And somebody here this morning, yes, God has all that for you, but you just be faithful in what he has given you. You fight for your field of lentils of what you do have, and God will see to it as you're committed to possessing what you have, as you're committed to increasing. The Bible says we inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. I know some people have got all the faith in the world, but they have no patience. They want it now. And they call themselves being blessed, and all they've done is put themselves up to their nostrils in debt. And if God told you to give $20, you wouldn't have $20 to give because you've got all the faith in the world. You want it now. But we inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. And we got to learn how to delay gratification. Faith and patience. I know some people have got all the patience in the world, but they've lost faith. And I want to tell you, a church like Wave Church and all that we've done and all that we're going to do in our future has been by this principle. It's faith and patience. They are the power twins. Somebody needs to hear it today for your life. You got great dreams, but you're frustrated. But God's, come on, I'll give it to you as you increase. Just turn to the person next to you and say, that wasn't for me, that was for someone else. Okay, number three, don't blame them, train them. Anybody in business, anybody in leadership, anybody building a team, anybody in a marriage with kids, so often we can so easily just blame others why they are not doing what it is that we think they should do. And if we're in a position of leadership or oversight, we got to be careful. We don't just sit there in some aloof position and go, what is wrong with these people? Why haven't they? Listen, I just want to say it to you. Don't blame people, train them. When you say, how many times do I have to say it? Obviously a lot more than you have so far. Communication is not what you said, it's what the other person heard. And it's not even beginning to get through into the people that God has called you to train and lead until they begin to roll their eyes in ad nauseum. There they go again, saying the same-o, same-o. And not only that, but when you hear them saying it back to you as if it was their idea, then you are beginning to understand the power of good training. But I want to encourage us, if you're in a sports team, don't blame them, train them. I know pastors, and we just had 200 of them here, and pastors go, man, our people just aren't giving. Our people just don't give. Teach them. Teach them to give. Teach them generosity. I'm afraid they'll leave. Teach them. I'm afraid not to teach giving. Who can say amen to that? I'm afraid not to do, because that's how God blesses us. Your children, don't blame them. Do you know what the Bible says? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Does that? And this is, but the rod of correction. I know we're not allowed to talk like this, but I'm going to read the Bible to you. I know we're all, don't spank your children. Do you know the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of it. Do you know what that tells me? That my kids, hopefully not so much now, I'm talking about as they were a child, are bound to do foolish things. So I'm just telling you, the Bible tells you, if you have kids, they're bound to do it. It's bound in their heart. But the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Come on. I'm not talking about child abuse. There are other ways in which we can discipline our children, but I just want to say to you, don't blame them, train them. My kids are bound to do foolish things. And the wonderful joy of life now as a grandparent is I get to watch them raise their kids. And I watch them wanting to be the perfect parent. And then they've got to realize, darn it, we've got to correct them. Don't blame them, train them in Jesus' name. Amen. Number four, hey, listen to this one. I love this one. Wherever you go, there you are. Who's ever thought, man, if I just go and move to somewhere else, life will be better. If I can just get away from here. The only problem is you take you with you. So it would only be a matter of time before you go somewhere else when all the same old stuff that was with you there is going to turn up here. Wherever you go, there you are. My parents told me when I was 8 years of age, we're all moving to Australia. They were both, my mother and father were alcoholics, and they said they thought that moving to another country would remove them from all their problems. They thought it was external things, like my dad owning a bar, and he was an alcoholic. Not a good recipe for success. Are you hearing me? And they thought it was because of all their drinking friends, and all that were things that didn't help them, but they thought them moving away to another place, and I'll never forget it, JFK Airport, standing there, a little eight-year-old boy, and I remember arriving in Australia with the promise they'll never drink again. They're starting a whole new leaf of life, and it's a whole new season. They got drunk on the plane. And I just read, 8 years of age, my parents are drunk, and I've got two brothers, two sisters in a strange country we've never been. We've arrived at Sydney Airport, and our parents are completely intoxicated, unable to talk, just completely passed out. Five kids standing at the airport going, what do we do now? Don't feel sorry for them. It's all good. I'm not damaged. But the point is this, wherever you go, you take you with you. And whatever's in you here is going to turn up in your life over there if you don't deal with it. So here's the next thought. You ready for this one? Turn to the person next to you and say, that's for someone else. That's not for me. You can't get away from your problems. You just bring them with you. If you keep turning up at the scene of the accident, the only common denominator is you. Amen? Man, who's ever done this? Every single time I go into a shopping center and I go into a supermarket, and I always try and pick the shortest line, and I count how many people are in the line, and then I calculate how many things are in their shopping trolley, and then I figure out, well, that's going to take a long time, and you try and pick the shortest line, and you say this, that always happens to me. Who's ever said, man, it's amazing to me, every guy or every girl I've dated has been a loser. Every job I've ever gotten, I tell you, my boss is a... Every church I've ever been to, I got hurt. Every church I've ever been to is unfriendly. Well, the Bible says he who wants friends must show himself to be friendly. Did it ever occur to you it could be you? Because wherever you go, there you are. And if you keep turning up at the scene of the accident, the only common denominator, it's not every church, every person, every boss. It just might be you. Just turn to the person next to you. That's for the people in front. Okay, number six. Listen to this one. What walks in the Father runs in the family. We just had a great men's conference, didn't we, men? And I want to say it. I don't want you to hear that just in a negative context. There is a truth to the negative, but there's also a truth to the positive. That walks in the Father, what walks in the Father will run in the family. The Bible says, bring up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. You teach your kids, you don't blame them, you train them, and you put godly confidence in them, you put a fear of God in them, you put a love for God's house, and when they're old, when they grow up in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart. That's true. In other words, the thought is this, if I sneeze, my kids should get a cold. What walks in the Father will run in the family. If the dad's got a bad temper, that's going to run in your family. If a dad has a love for Jesus, that will run in the family. Come on, somebody say amen. All right, I want to keep moving because I want to get through 12 of these. Are you ready for this? Number 7, don't complain about what you're not willing to confront. Don't complain about, oh man, I'm always in debt. I never have enough money. Oh, I'm overweight. I drink too much. Not me, by the way. But how many times have I heard someone say that to me? Oh man, don't complain. Oh, I don't like our government. Well, don't complain about what you're not willing to confront. Make sure you vote. Make sure you have a say. Amen. And if not, please shut up. If you don't vote, just go. Just be quiet. Have your say at the voting booth. Can you say amen? Your vote counts. Your vote counts. What happens in this election, I believe, can have a lot to do with what's going to be happening in the state of Virginia for this next season. Your vote really does count. Amen. So don't complain about what you're not willing to confront. Are you hearing it? Oh, I'm overweight. My clothes don't fit. Well, what are you going to do to confront that? Pastor, pray for me. Rebuke the devil. The devil's trying to destroy me. No, we might need to rebuke the knife and fork. May not just be the devil. I'm never out of debt. Well, what are you willing to confront about your management of finances? Come on, somebody. All right, I'll keep going. Okay, number 8, don't expect what you don't inspect. If something's important and you expect it in your future, then what are you doing to build accountability, steps, process, procedures, mechanisms that will bring that expectation to pass? Don't expect what you don't inspect. You want a better marriage? Then you're going to have to put the work in. I'm hoping for a better marriage. I'm hoping. I'm expecting to get a promotion at work. I'm expecting to be, whatever it is that you want in life. Don't expect anything that you're not willing to inspect and to build with it a system of accountability and a strategy and a process to get you there. One of the things I absolutely know, but no shadow of a doubt, that this guy sitting right here, a good friend of mine called Toby Harris, and his company called Movement Mortgage, one of the secret sources, and obviously it's God, he'd give God all the glory, and I know him, and I know he would. But there's also a sign which God uses people. And one of the things he's known for, that I know him for, is that everything we have an outcome, an expectation, there's got to be a means of evaluating and a process. And how do we make sure, and the moment a decision's made, that is a change to the culture, then what is the new system of evaluation to make sure we still get the end in mind? Would you agree with that? The process is an outcome. It's not just the outcome, it's the process to get the outcome. I want to say this, what you accept is what you teach. You might teach, we want this, but if you accept less, then what you accept is what you're teaching. I want you to hear it. Listen to it. Don't expect what you don't inspect. Amen? You expect your kids to do the homework, then you inspect it. Okay, we'll keep going. Praise the Lord. You expect to have a better marriage? Let's look at how much time you spent with your spouse. Let's look at your words. Praise the Lord. Turn to the person next to you and say, I don't like the pastor anymore. We need a new one. All right, number 9. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. Proverbs 13 verse 20. He or she who walks with the wise shall grow wise. Let me ask you a question. Do we even know what the wise look like? Well, I do know according to scripture, a wise person doesn't show his annoyance at once. So I ain't hanging around with someone who's got a foul temper. Are you hearing me? He who walks with the wise. I'm not saying I'm not going to be reaching out to people who aren't wise, but I'm talking about people who I walk with. And the point is, I've got to be able to identify a person of wisdom, but then secondly, I've got to be willing to walk with them. And it says, it doesn't say you instantly, boom, you're wise, because you had the occasional interruption, the occasional bump up with a person who's wise. You are committed to having them in your life where you're walking beside them. I thank God for the friends that are in my life, because the friends that are in my life are an indication to the future that God has for me. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. You hang around a group of negative, gossipy, critical, bitter, twisted people, there's your future. All right, we'll just keep moving on. Praise the Lord. Okay, ready? Next one. Proverbs number 10. The size of your enemy is the size of your reward. David didn't look at Goliath and go, "Dear God, I'm a dead man." David went, he didn't go, "He's so big, I can't beat him." He went, "He's so big, I can't miss him." The size of your enemy is the size of your, don't be preoccupied with how dark it is. I hear pastors say this, "You don't understand, Steve, it's easy for you in Virginia Beach. You know, it's in the south and your demons are not as dark as our demons." We've got darker demons than your demons. And it's amazing how people love to blame something else rather than look at what's going on in themselves. And it's like, come on, the size of your enemy. We don't have darker demons here. Amen. You don't be looking at, listen, I want you to hear it. How big your enemy is, it's just telling you that's the reward. When David took down Goliath, he lifted his head and showed all of Israel, "I cut the dude's head off." That's how you get ahead in life. But then he picked up the sword and cut off Goliath's head. Listen to it. And he got Goliath's sword. Can I just say to you, don't think your demons are so big and so bad and so dark that they are different from anybody else's challenges. I want to tell you now how big they are. It's an indication of what God has for you in Jesus' name. Number 11, you are the product of your thought life. I lived my life, church, listen to me. I lived my life around this wisdom thought. I am the product of my thought life. As a man thinks in his heart, Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, your heart is thinking. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As a man thinks in his heart, watch it, so is he. You don't need a prophet. You don't need a clairvoyant. Can I tell you, if you want to know what's going to be in your life tomorrow, just be conscious of what's in your mind today. It's not hard. It isn't hard. Oh, my father got cancer. I don't want to get cancer. My father got cancer. I don't want to get cancer. Can I tell you that Job said it this way? The thing I feared the most came unto me. The thing that I greatly feared came upon me. What's in your mind today will be in your life tomorrow. Your thought life is the prophet of your future. No wonder the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be just. That's why I think, church, with all the stuff that's going on today in our world, we got to be so conscious of our thought life. I don't want to get COVID. I don't want to get COVID. I don't want to get COVID. I want to get COVID. Job said, whatever you fear is coming to you. You're giving that thing traction. Fear is faith in reverse. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Well, what if I do get the vaccination? Well, is that going to be worse than, you know? And it's like, come on, friend, you know, people ask me, well, what do you think about all this? I think people should have the right to choose. And I know some people don't agree with me on that. But can we be at least civil enough to say, can we agree to disagree and still love people and not make that the main thing and not be divisive over that issue? And if you're wondering where I stand, I'm vaccinated. Some of you get mad at me for being vaccinated. I want to travel. I want to go to Australia. I'm called to preach to the world. I'm supposed to be in Israel right now, literally this weekend, but I'm not because of the restrictions that Israel put on it. I'm called to go into all the world. I'm not letting that stop me from doing what God's called me to do. I just take the Bible verse, "You shall drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you." Listen to it. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are the product of your thought life. I see people fixate on something and then all you do is become the thoughts. And I want to tell you, my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My thoughts are not your ways. My way are higher than your ways. It's not that we can't know the thoughts of God, but if you're going to know his thoughts, you got to elevate your thinking above what the earth is, above what the world is, and you got to bring it up to what God says. You don't bring all your belief down to the level of your experience, you bring your experiences up to the level of what you believe. And I believe the word of God. I believe his promises are yes and amen. Number 11 is you are the product of your thought life. Number 12 is this, and this is my last one. If you want to change the way other people see you, you have to kill the grasshopper. Now, my daughter who does all my notes rang me last night and says, Dad, I need to talk to you about your sermon. Your 12th point does not make any sense. What on earth are you talking about? Kill the grasshopper. I said, Alyssa, all that matters is it makes sense to me. And when I preach it, it will make sense to the church. How many of you have tried to change the way in which people see you? You wish they didn't see you in the way they see you. Okay, I don't know how to make this as real, how far I go with this, but I'll go a little far. How many sometimes, maybe there was a time and a season in your life where I'm not asking any show of hands. There was a time and a season in your life where people just didn't take you serious. Well, it's because maybe you're acting like a clown all the time. So if you want to change the way people see you, you got to kill this grasshopper. Maybe you were somebody that was just cheap. And people saw you, that guy's stingy. And how many know to get rid of that reputation, it's going to take a lot of hard work. Well, maybe it's not just cheap, maybe shady. You trade in the shades of gray. You hear me? And now you're trying to undo that reputation. Or maybe you were a bit of a player. And now you say, you know what? I really love this girl. I want to marry her. I want to commit the rest of my life to her. But everything she's hearing from everybody else. That's why the Bible says a good name is more valuable than gold and silver. And so, but here's the thing. You can change the way other people see you. I promise you can. But look what the Bible says how to do it. Watch. God says to the children of Israel, go to Moses and to the spies. Go into the promised land and send some spies in and get them to bring back a report of what's in the promised land. And oh, there's so much in this. Read it. It's in Numbers. Moses tells them, when you go in, 12 spies, when you go in, I want you to go up to the high road. Read it. It's in there. I'm studying it right now in my devotionals. Don't go the low road. Go the high road. He tells them which way to go. Go up into the mountains and look and bring back a report. And you should see the details. You know about don't expect what you don't inspect? Moses gave them all these measures of inspections of the report that will bring back details like you wouldn't believe. And do you know what the Bible says? That 10 spies, listen to this, went down into the valley. And two went up. Do you know the two that went up? Joshua and Caleb. Do you know the two that brought back the positive report was the two that went up? Do you know the 10 that brought back the negative report are the 10 that went down? You see, where you view life from changes everything. Your attitude will determine your altitude. And sometimes your perspective is really important from how in which you're viewing life. And listen to what these spies say. They said, and we saw there was giants, the sons of Anak, who come from the giants. And we in our own sight, look at it, we in our own sight were as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So if you want to change the way in which other people see you, you got to change the way you see yourself. We were as in our own eyes grasshoppers, and we saw them and we looked at us through their eyes. We were as grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we were in their eyes. If you want to change the way other people see you, you got to change the way you see yourself. Come on, somebody say amen. It's good preaching. I have 50 of them. And I'd love to keep teaching them over these next season. I want to keep teaching some wisdom thoughts, things I've collected in Jesus' name. Do you receive the word? Amen. My time is up. Oh, praise God. I love that thought about your thought life. What are you thinking about? What do you think? I'm lonely. Well, you think that you'll only be more lonely. What are you thinking about? I'm broke. I'll never get out of debt. I'm fat. I'm ugly. I'll never change. No, 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 no. My thoughts are not your thoughts. He has made me the head and not the tail. He has made me above and not beneath. greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the wings of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, in him will I trust. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, O Lord, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. And I am the head and I am not the tail. And I thank you, Lord, that if I fully obey your word and have the courage to do all that is written therein, and if I will not to turn from the left to the right, but have the courage to do all that is there, then I'll be blessed in the city. I'll be blessed in the country. I'll be blessed when I go in. I'll be blessed when I go out. I'll be blessed in the field. I'll have a blessed family. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. You supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. Oh God, I thank you that I am loved. I thank you that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, O God. If I were to count them, they'd be more numerous than the sand of the seashore. I praise you, God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.